and I want to welcome you. And it's so nice to see so many of you outside walking early in the mornings now that it's light a little bit earlier. So it's really great to have the opportunity to learn together again. Today we are going to be doing chapter 18 of Tehillim. And I want to thank our sponsors, first and foremost, by my in-laws, Bubby and Grandpa Siegel, in honor of their beloved grandson, Moshe Moskowitz, Anachas Tefillin, last Sunday, which was somewhat of a surreal experience for me and my family. Really just felt like yesterday that my son was born, and to see the excitement and the enthusiasm with which he put on his tefillin was really a very special occasion for us. It was nice that we were able to share it with his friends, and we look forward, December 4th and 5th, Be'ezrat Hashem, to be able to share the bar mitzvah with all of you. Those who live here in Boca are invited to come to shul that morning. We'll be having a drive-by on Thursday night, and I'm actually going to be sending out an email shortly. And again, please God, we should be zoche to share in lots of simchas, lots of celebrations together. Okay, but I want to thank my in-laws for sponsoring. If anyone is interested in sponsoring a Tehillim class going forward, you could email me. You could be in touch with the shul office. Obviously, all sponsorships are welcome. Today, we're going to do the 18th chapter of Sefer Tehillim. And it is a very long chapter of Tehillim. It's 51 psukim, which is why I have not done it yet. And in fact, you might notice that we have shied away from any of the longer chapters of Tehillim up until now because, well, they're long. And if we read all of them, so as it is, I'm looking at many of your faces and I'm seeing some of your names. And, you know, it's early in the morning. Many of you might not have had your coffee yet. I know Mrs. Barry's had her coffee. She always has her coffee early in the morning. But some of you are still a little sleepy. I myself may have not gotten a lot of sleep over the last two nights. Election night is rough. I don't get it. Everyone stays up late. We knew what was going to happen. We knew that there was not going to be a result that night. And yet many of us went to sleep very early in the morning, woke up very early in the morning, and are still feeling the effects of it. So if I were to read all 51 psukim of chapter 18 of Tehillim, so I might be looking out. It'd be like a drasha, looking out on people as they're starting to fall asleep. So we're going to do this a little bit differently in the sense that I'm going to give a little bit of a longer introduction, and then we're going to go a little bit faster through the psukim and really try to understand the blocks of psukim. So we're not going to focus as much on individual psukim. My goal is going to be to give you a flavor of the perek, something hopefully that you might not have appreciated previously. And spoiler alert, we might not do this all in one week. 51 psukim. It's very hard to read, and even though we might have the time to read it all in one week, it's a little bit harder on Zoom to keep our focus for such a long period of time, and so there is a chance that we might split this up in 2 weeks. We'll see how it goes. We'll see how we are doing. So as I commented, this is the longest, one of the longest chapters in Sefer Tehillim, certainly in the first part of the books of Sefer Tehillim. This is the longest chapter, and what you'll also notice is that it's split up into two very distinct parts, and that's what makes it a little bit easier to split up. What I want to do is I want to jump right into the first pasuk, and then after the first pasuk, we'll take a pause, and we will try to understand that pasuk. The chapter of Tehillim starts off, L'manatzeach le'eved Adonai. It starts off as a song for the servant of Hashem, L'David, Asher diber l'Adonai divrei hashira hazos, David HaMelech, who's saying the words of this shira, this was a song that David HaMelech sang on the day when Hashem saved him from the hands of his enemies and from the hands of Shaul. So there's a lot to unpack in this very first pasuk. Number one is you'll notice that it's referred to as Hashira Hazos. Chazal tell us that this is one of the 10 songs in all of Tanakh. So all of a sudden, this should cause you to pay attention. One of the 10 songs in all of Tanakh. The other thing that you'll notice is that maybe this song is going to be familiar to you. And the reason why this song is going to be familiar to you is because almost verbatim, it is a song that's referenced in the 22nd chapter of Sefer Shmuel Bet. And so for anyone who studies Sefer Shmuel Bet, you'll notice that this is going to be very familiar to you. You'll also notice that there are some significant differences between this chapter and in Shmuel Bet. One of them, noticeably, is that David HaMelech here refers to himself as an Eved Hashem, as a servant to Hashem. Now you might think, what a almost arrogant description, right? I'm allowed to call you an Eved Hashem. I'm not allowed to call myself an Eved Hashem. I'm not allowed to say about myself, wow, I'm so great, I'm so wonderful, I'm such a great servant of Hashem. And yet that's exactly what David HaMelech does. What is an Eved Hashem? So if you think about it, an Eved Hashem is someone who's totally committed to Hashem at all times, right? Someone who is a servant, doesn't have anything of his own. everything that he has is given over to his master. Now you'll notice, all the way at the end of the chapter of Tehillim, 51 psukim later, right, we're fast-forwarding a little bit, you'll notice that how does David HaMelech refer to himself? Magdil, or Migdol, Yeshuos, Malko, V'yose Chesed Limshicho. By the end of the chapter, David HaMelech refers to himself as a Melech, and he refers to himself as Mishicho, as the Mashiach, as the Redeemer, right? And that in and of itself is going to be a reflection of the transformation that David HaMelech is going to undergo throughout this chapter of Tehillim, and we'll have to see what leads to that transformation of David HaMelech. Now, what we also point out oftentimes when studying Tehillim together is that it's important when you study Tehillim not just to let it be David HaMelech's song, but to make it your own song, right? Not just to read the words of David HaMelech, but to use the words of David HaMelech as a canvas for me to be able to create my own song. In fact, I wrote, you'll read about it in the weekly, it was posted on Times of Israel this week, but I wrote an article about davening. And one of the things that I always refer to when it comes to davening is don't get stuck in the words of the sitter, but look at them as musical notes. So if I were to look at the musical notes of Mozart, it doesn't mean that I'm copying Mozart's song. It means that I'm using the notes that Mozart once composed to now make my own song. And of course, anyone who's a student of music knows that you can listen to the same exact piece of Mozart conducted or produced by two different musicians, and you can get a very different feeling for that piece of music. Why? The musical notes are the same. The answer is that the person playing the musical notes is a little bit different. And that's what makes music so beautiful. The sitter, Tehillim, is the exact same way, right? The words are the same. David HaMelech composed these words, but ultimately, it is our job to take those words and to put our imprint on them, to turn it into our own song. Nowhere do I find that this is more important than this chapter of Tehillim, because David HaMelech is writing about a very specific set of circumstances, but it is up to us to take it, to use that canvas, and ultimately to create our own narrative surrounding it. You'll also notice that David HaMelech says, "Biyom Yitzil Adonai Oso Mikaf Kol Oivav Umiyad Shaul." David HaMelech is singing this song. It's a song of praise to Hashem. And what is it singing about? When Hashem saved him from the hand of his enemies and from Shaul. Where in Tanakh do we see that David HaMelech in one day was saved from all of his enemies and from the hand of Shaul? Well, I'll save you the trouble of going through Tanakh in your brain, or is flipping through your Tanakhs on Zoom right now, because it never happened. It never happened. And so therefore, the Mefarshim are all curious, what historical time period are we talking about here? Rashi over here tells us that we're talking not about a specific time period, but says Rashi, Kishehizkin. We're talking about when David HaMelech was already a little bit older. Ukvar avru alav kol tzarosav v'nitzu mehem. David HaMelech is reflecting upon the totality of his life. He was looking back on his life and reflected upon all that Hashem had done for him. And now that David HaMelech had a full picture of Hashem's kindness towards him, now he is able to sing this song of praise to Hashem. Oftentimes when you and I are going through the what we'll call the weeds, so to speak, the day in and day out grind of everyday living, so it's sometimes hard to see the kindness of Hashem. Sometimes you might be going through a difficult moment, sometimes you might be going through one of the bumps of life, and you get caught up into, why did this happen, where's Hashem, how is he protecting me? But when you reflect back upon a set of circumstances in your life, and then you can look back at it as a total picture, and you can be mesmerized by the kindness of Hashem. That, says Rashi, is what David HaMelech is doing. Now, happens to be many people on this Zoom right now are of a certain age demographic. But even if you are not of that age demographic, I'll reference myself, for example. So my son is turning a bar mitzvah, Be'ezras Hashem, in 3.5 weeks. And so it's been an opportunity of reflection for me and my wife. And one of the things that I was reflecting upon is that over the last 13 years of his life, there have been so many moments where you felt difficulty, where it was a little bit challenging, there was a crossroads and you weren't sure exactly what to do. And then you get to certain milestones and you reflect back upon it and you think to yourself, do you know how many things needed to go right to bring you to a point of a bar mitzvah? Do you know how many things need to go right to bring you to the point of a marriage, to bring you to the point of a grandchild, to bring you to the point of a great-grandchild. When you look back on the totality of the picture, it is nothing short of astonishing how much chesed needed to be given to you by Hashem to bring you to that point in time. And so while, according to Rashi, David HaMelech is writing about when he's older, and therefore he's looking upon the total picture of his life, I don't think you have to wait until that time period. I think it's any period that causes you reflection, whether it's a birth of a child, whether it's a bar mitzvah, whether it's a chumash play for a child or a grandchild, whether it's a marriage or whether it's a grandchild or whether it's a great-grandchild, right? There are certain moments in our life that cause us to pause and to reflect and to say, do you know how many millions of things needed to go right to allow me to appreciate this kindness from Hashem right now in my life? And so oftentimes we lose sight of that. We get caught up in the daily grind, in the rat race of life, and we fail to appreciate just how astonishing Hashem's kindness to us is. And every now and then we stop and we pause and we say, wow, so much had to be given to me. So much blessing, so much kindness, so much goodness from Hashem. And yeah, were there difficult times along the way? 100%. Were there challenging moments along the way? 100%. Were there moments where I wish it didn't happen that way? 100%. But now that I'm reflecting upon not just one little minuscule moment, but I'm reflecting upon the total experience, that's when I can sit back and sing a song of praise to Hashem. That says Rashi, that says Mitzudas David, is what this chapter of Tehillim is referring to. Abarbanel reads this the exact opposite way. Says the Abarbanel, first he quotes Rashi, he says, Chashvu ha-mefarshim she-David ha-melech alav ha-shalom b'sof yamav. There are those mefarshim that want to read this about David ha-melech at the end of his life. Says the Abarbanel, that's not what I believe. V'da'ati note. He says, my gut tells me, she-hashira hazos, that this song, David chavra b'becharuto, David writes, not in his elderly stage, but David HaMelech writes this in his youth. Biyoso besoch sarosav, when he was in the midst of all of the difficulties and all of the challenges. Ve'asa koleles l'cholat saros. And David composes a poem in his youth in anticipation of a life full of crisis and also equally in anticipation of Hashem's salvation. David HaMelech essentially says, as the Abarbanel articulates, Kidei shebechol pam upam, every single time shehaya HaKadosh Baruch Hu matzilo mikol tzara, that every single time that David HaMelech finds himself in a moment of difficulty, and every single time Hashem saves him from that moment of tzaras, haya mishorer hashira hazos, David HaMelech would have a template. He would have a poem to return to be able to sing songs of praise to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. V'haisayim kein shagura b'fiv, that David HaMelech would get so used to singing this chapter of Tehillim. Now the irony is, it's 51 psukim. This isn't exactly a two pasuk, right? Rub a dub dub, thanks for the grub, amen type poem that David HaMelech is reading to Hashem. 51 psukim is quite lengthy. And yet, David HaMelech's hope, according to the Abarbanel, was that he would say this so often, over and over and over again, until it would be shagura b'fiv. It would be so commonplace in his mouth. He would memorize it. Kedei lehodos laHashem al ko teshua she'asa imo lafli. Every time Hashem performed a miracle for him, every time Hashem saved him, every time he was overwhelmed with a sense of gratitude and appreciation and astonishment at the world around him, David HaMelech wouldn't have to start again. He wouldn't have to always look to the playbook, but the blueprint would be there for him. He wouldn't have to recreate the wheel every time. The playbook, the blueprint is there for him. He just has to look at it. And he has to repeat it over and over and over again. V'zeu amr kan v'yidaber David la'Hashem es divrei ashir azos b'yomitzil Hashem osav. This is what we're talking about. Rotzalomar. Shebechol yom v'yom. Every single time. Shehaya matzil Hashem osav mikaf kol echad me'evav. Every single time that Hashem saved David. And every single time he saved him from Shaul. And every single time he, right, you fill in the blank of your own narrative. Bechol ha-pa'amim. Haya David Mishoreres Ashirazos. So as opposed to Rashi, in the Mitzudas David, who says that David sang this song as a reflection upon the miracles of his life. David HaMelech sang this song at the bar mitzvah of his son, and the wedding of his child or grandchild or great-grandchild, the birth of a child, great-grandchild. And he was reflecting upon how many millions of things needed to go right. Think about it. Right? Think about for a second. Pick a time in your life. Let's look right now. Right? Think about the trillions of things that needed to go right in your life to bring you to this point. Now, I'm not so presumptuous to assume that your life was perfect. And for many of us, our lives were far from perfect, and there were challenges and bumps along the way. But if you are sitting here on the Zoom, what's the date? I don't even know the date right now. If you are sitting here on the Zoom, November 5th, 2020, I wish I knew the Hebrew day right now, but I do not, right? If you and I are sitting here, then the trillions of things that needed to go right in our lives, from the moment we were conceived until born, until we are here today. Take a moment, says Rashi. Take a moment, says Matudas David. Reflect upon that. Reflect upon even those moments which were might have been a little bit darker in your life. You still were able to persevere. And you're here right now on a Zoom listening to Torah being taught in the freest country in the world. Right? There's amazing things that happen to all of us. And yet here we are, says Radak. I'm sorry, says the Rashi, says Matudas David, this chapter is for you. Abarbanel says the exact opposite. Says the Abarbanel, no, that David HaMelech wrote this in his youth. And he wrote it as that blueprint, as that playbook, that every time he felt the kindness of Hashem, every time he felt the salvation of Hashem, he would have these words to refer to. It would become Shegura Befiv. He'd be saying it over and over and over again. Similar to the way you and I say Baruch Hashem. Right? Baruch Hashem, this happened. So for David HaMelech, he had a 51 pasuk Baruch Hashem. Every time he felt saved by Hashem, every time he felt the miracles, the salvation, the redemption, he had his 51 pasuk Baruch Hashem. Rav Hirsch says that this is not limited to David HaMelech, but this is the playbook for all of us. Says Rav Hirsch, this psalm is a shira, a song that proclaims the perception of the hand of God in the course of events. Right? This is our blueprint for what happens when we see God's hand in our lives. Here it is David who sings of the manifestations of God's sovereignty, which he has experienced throughout his days on earth. David's life was filled with trials and sorrows from the time when he was a lone fugitive persecuted by his foes, until the period when he reigned as the victorious leader of his people and the standard bearer of the future. David HaMelech's life was not perfect. Like many of ours, David HaMelech's life had his ups and downs. This great variety of personal experiences has qualified him to become the singer for all of mankind of God's praises for all times to come. Right? What essentially is Rav Hirsch saying? You might be sitting here and saying, very easy, right? David HaMelech was the Melech. He was the Melech HaMashiach. He was the king. He was the general. Easy for David HaMelech to sing the praise of Hashem. Says Rav Hirsch, not so fast. Let me remind you about the life that David HaMelech lived. David HaMelech's life had many trials and tribulations. It had many ups and downs. It had many dark moments. And that's what gives David HaMelech what we would call street credibility. Street credibility to sing this song, because his life wasn't always so perfect. In it, he found the inner strength and the openness and the awareness to sing the songs and praise of Hashem. That now becomes our song. Says Rav Hirsch, our job is to look at David HaMelech's words and to internalize them and to make them our own. To recognize that this wasn't just the song of one person at one moment in Jewish history, but this is the song of the Jewish people. So three different interpretations of who this chapter was. We're 20 minutes into the class. We haven't even read past the first pasuk. But I warned you that was going to happen. Right? Rashi says this is David HaMelech at the end of his life, reflecting back. I think it's a very powerful message for all of us. That sometimes in life we have to use moments to reflect back and to sing praise. Barbanel, no. This is David HaMelech at the beginning of his life, almost writing a poem that he would reflect upon every time something good happened, as a template, as the blueprint for how he's going to sing songs of praise for Hashem. Rav Hirsch says, don't think that this is just a cop-out of David HaMelech. Ah, it's easy, Baruch Hashem, it's easy to believe in Hashem. No, it wasn't easy for David HaMelech. And yet he did it anyways. That becomes the template for every single one of us. That is all, Pasuk number Aleph. Now we're going to go a little bit faster. Pasuk Beis. And this really takes us from Pasuk Beis until Pasuk Zayin. Vayomer, David HaMelech says, Archamcha Adonai Chizki. Right? Archamcha here doesn't mean from what we think, which means Rachem. But the Meforshim point out, it means that I love you, Hashem. Rashi says, Ahavcha, I love you. Right? As the Targum Unculus Rashi points out, Vehafta L'Reicha V'Tirachem. Right? To love someone is to have mercy on them. Right? So, Archamcha Adonai Chizki. Hashem, I love you. You are my strength. Pasuk Gimel. Adonai Sali U'Metudasi U'Mefalti Eli Tsuriu Echzebo. Hashem, you are my fortress, my rex, you are my rock, my refuge, my shield. In other words, you're all these terms, Hashem. You protect me. Magini v'kerem yishim iskavi. You are my abode. You are my safe haven. You are where I escape when everything else is not going right. David HaMelech here feels Hashem's love. Now you'll notice that if you compare Shmuel Bet, Pasuk Chaf Bet, with this chapter of Tehillim, while I said it is almost verbatim, Pasuk Bet, is absent there. Vayomer Arachamcha Adonai Chizki is absent there. Let's wonder a little bit why that might be the case. It could be that David HaMelech's love for Hashem was so obvious that he didn't feel the need to say it over there. But over here, when David HaMelech is composing a poem for generations, there he felt the need to give us those words because we struggle just a little bit more than David HaMelech. And so in Chaf Bet of Shmuel, that's David HaMelech's visceral reaction. David HaMelech didn't feel the need to reinforce Hashem's love, his love for Hashem. Here, when he's writing for all of us, he has to state the obvious, because for many of us, it is not so obvious. We need the words to say, because we don't see Hashem as clearly in our lives. Mehulal Ekra Adonai, I praise you, Hashem. Umin oivai ivasheah, and you delivered me from my enemies. Afafuni chavle mavis, I was surrounded on all sides by death. Menachale blial ivasuni, and I was terrified by my enemies. Chavle sheol savavuni, again I was encircled by sheol. Remember, sheol means the inner depths, the pits, the most deepest parts. Kidmuni mokshe mavis, death was confronting me again on all sides. Batsarli, in my distress, what did I do? David HaMelech says, Ekra Adonai, I called out to you, Hashem, Ve'el Elohai, Ish Eshavea, Yishma Mehichalo, Koli, Hashem, I called out to you, you heard me, Shavasi Lefanav Tavo Beaznav, and my cry to you reached your ears. That is section one of section one. If we had to summarize Psukim, let's say 3 through 7 or 2 through 7, how would we summarize it? Basically by saying that Hashem is my savior. That I'm crying out to Hashem and Hashem saves me. Here David HaMelech is in a moment of difficulty, he's in a moment of trouble, and what does he do? What is his reaction is that he calls out to Hashem. Who is active and who is passive here? Here, David HaMelech is active. He is actively calling out to Hashem. Keep that in mind. Pasuk 8. Pasuk 8 through 20, you'll notice, is a dramatic shift in tone from 2 through 7. And here we go again. I'm going to read a little bit quicker than we normally do. But here we go. Vatigash, vatirash, aretzimoste harim, yirgazu. Vayisgashu, kicharalo. The earth is quaking. The foundations are shaking. Allah ashan be'apo, smoke is coming up from his nostrils. Ve'ish mipiv tochel gechalim be'arumi menu. Right, his mouth is devouring fires. You almost get the image of this, like you're playing a video game. And there's that lion, or there's that, that dinosaur that's throwing fire and wrath. Right, vayet shamayim, vayered. He bent the skies, he comes down, va'arapel tachas raglav, and there's a cloud beneath his feet, right? What imagery? is coming to your mind right now, that's what I want you to think about as I read these psukim. Vayirkav al krum vayof, he climbs on his cherub and he flies around. Vayida al kanfei ruach, he glides. Yashes choshech, sisros vivosav sukaso, cheshkas mayim aveshchakim, darkness is all around him. Dense clouds, there's this mysteriousness all around. Minoga negdo avav avro, barad vegachle ish, hail, fiery coals are pouring. Again, you almost feel like you're playing a video game here. Are raining down all around. Vayar'ein bashamayim ananai elyon, yitain kolo barad vegachle ish. Again, there's thunder and there's hail and there's coals. Pasuk 15. Vayishlach chetzav vayifitzein. He let flies out his arrows. Uvrakim ra vayumeim. And lightning is spewn out from Hashem. Vayeru afike mayim veyigolu mostos tevel migarascha adonai menishmas ruach apecha. Right? Everything is shaking. Everything is quaking. Yishlach mimarom mikacheni. He reached down from up high and he took me out. Yimesheni mimayim rabim. And what did he do? Hashem drew me out of those waters. Again, if you picture this gale force of winds and this tempestuous water, what does Hashem do? Hashem saves David HaMelech from it. So you picture this hurricane. You picture this being thrown back and forth. And Hashem literally comes down and he plucks David HaMelech out. He saves David HaMelech. Yishlach, I read that pasuk. Yatzilenu me'oivai az. He saved me from my fierce enemy. Umison ai ki am sumi meni. And from my phones who are too strong from me, for me. Yikadmuni biyomedi. On the day of my calamity, on the day of my difficulty, Hashem confronted me. You know, he got ahead of me. Vayhi Adonai l'mish'an li, Hashem was my mish'an, which means he's my support. Vayotzi'eni l'merchav, he brought me out to freedom. Yichaltzeni ki chafetz bi, he rescued me. Why? Ki chafetz bi, because he wanted me, because he loved me, because he cared about me. Now you'll notice that as opposed to earlier in this chapter so far, for example, Pasuk 7, when we started out, what is David HaMelech? Batsar li. What is batsar? So here you translate it as in distress. Batsar means narrow. Think about Mitzrayim. Mina meitzar karasika. From the straits I called out for you. In other words, when we're going through a really difficult time, how do we feel? We feel like the world is crumbling around us. We feel so limited in our ability to understand the bigger picture. And that's what frustrates us. That's what we struggle with. That's what causes us despair, is we don't see a pathway out. All we feel is that we feel very constrained. We can't see the bigger picture. We feel like we're stuck. That's how David HaMelech feels at the beginning. By the end, how does David HaMelech feel? Vayotzieni lemerchav. Mirchav doesn't just mean freedom, as Sefaria translates it here. No, no, no. Mirchav means that Hashem has given me a broader perspective. It means that I no longer feel stuck. It means that I'm able to understand and appreciate things that I might not have been able to appreciate previously. And so what David HaMelech is encouraging us is don't just look at what Hashem is doing for you. I'm sorry, don't just look at what Hashem isn't doing for you, but look at what He is doing for you. When you get stuck, you're only able to see one pathway. You might feel frustrated that things aren't going the right way for you. You might feel frustrated that Hashem isn't answering you the way that you want. And so you feel very constrained. You feel very confined. But by the end, David HaMelech is lemerchav. He feels like his approach, that his eyesight, his vision, his understanding of the world has been broadened. He's freer. He's now not stuck. He's now able to understand and appreciate things that he wasn't able to appreciate previously. Who is active and who is passive here? So here, you'll notice, does David HaMelech do anything? David HaMelech does almost nothing. It's Hashem who is active, and David HaMelech who is the beneficiary of Hashem's kindness. Now, what do you make of all this imagery? And I know I went through it a little bit quickly, but I'm really trying not to get bogged down in a very lengthy Perek of Tehillim. What do you notice about the imagery? Almost immediately. What do you notice about the imagery? Right? Smoke and fire and thunder and lightning. What do you notice about that imagery? So it's, again, it's difficult on Zoom, but I'll tell you what I notice about the imagery. It sounds an awful lot like other moments of Jewish history. Most notably, the two stories that I think jump right out at you, and the Das Mikra refers you to them, are Har Sinai and the splitting of the sea. When we talk about fire and thunder and lightning, it's hard to read those psukim and not to feel a connection with the story of Har Sinai. When it talks about plucking out of the water, remember David HaMelech is drowning. And of course, this is poetry, it's metaphorical. But David HaMelech is drowning in his own despair. He's drowning in the calamities that are surrounding him. And Hashem, so to speak, comes and plucks him out. What does that sound an awful lot like? It sounds an awful lot like the splitting of the sea, where the Jewish people were literally caught between a rock and a hard place, or between a sea and the Egyptians raining down on them. And what does Hashem do? Not because the Jews were deserving of it at that moment in time. Not because we had done anything that warranted Hashem's kindness. But, as we finished off that section with, Ki chafetz bi, because Hashem wanted me. Hashem, we were His chosen people. And so Hashem came and He split the sea for us out of an abundance of kindness and chesed, unwarranted and unprovoked. Hashem just loved us, so He did it for us. Why here, in a song of personal praise, is David HaMelech referencing those moments in Jewish history? And this, I think, is the critical point, certainly in this first section of our chapter this morning. And that is as follows. That David HaMelech, when he looks to find his own song, when he looks to sing praise to Hashem, he goes back to previous songs of the Jewish people and he makes them his own. Right? We have to take the stories of Klal Yisrael. We have to take the songs of Klal Yisrael. We have to personalize them and make them our own stories in our own songs as well. And so whether it is the story of Har Sinai, or whether it is the story of the splitting of the sea, they're not just historic events, but they're blueprints for us. They're templates for us. And our job is to take those stories and to take those narratives and to make them our own. And so, for example, when Chazal tell us that kasha mizonosav, that it's as hard for Hashem to make our mizonos, in other words, to feed us, to provide us with sustenance, as it was splitting of the sea, what Chazal are really teaching us is that the same way Hashem split the sea for you thousands of years ago, Hashem performs those miracles for you every single day. We have to take the story of the sea and make it our own. And so when I go and I make a bracha on food or drink, when I bench, when I enjoy this world, what I'm essentially saying, Hashem, that miracle of the splitting of the sea, you have recreated for me right now. When Hashem says, Kasha zvugim kikriyas yamsu, that it was as hard for Hashem to make a zivug, to find a match between a husband and wife as it was for the splitting of the sea. So I wake up this morning and if I'm blessed to have a spouse, I recognize, Hashem, you split the sea for me today. That is not just a story of my people, but it is my story. That's not just an ancient story, but it's a song, it's a story and a song that recreates itself every single day. And so I don't just feel that Hashem split the sea for my relative, my ancient relatives. No, Hashem split the sea for me right here and right now, right? The story of the first section of Tehillim, and I am going to split it up into two parts because I think it's too much to cover in one day. But the story of the first section of Tehillim is taking the narratives and making them our own. It's by going through the stories and the songs of the Jewish people and making it my story and making it my song. And so whether you follow Rashi or you follow the Abarbanel, whether you believe that David wrote this retrospectively or prospectively, whether you believe that David wrote this at the end of his life, reflecting upon the miracles of his life, or whether he wrote it at the beginning of his life, right, in anticipation of what's going to come. I think the message for us is to do the same for ourselves, right? Whatever stage of life we are, create that template, that poem, that song for Hashem, that either says, Hashem, when I get stuck, when I feel like my perception is limited, when I fail to appreciate your miracles and your kindness and your benevolence, I'm going to come back to this poem that I wrote. I'm going to come back to this song that I wrote. Many people do that. Many people write a personal mission statement or a personal poem, a personal reflection to Hashem. That's what essentially I believe. In my interpretation of the first half of this chapter of Tehillim, that I believe is what David HaMelech is doing for us as well. The next chapters, the next sections, take on a very different tone, a very different sense. And that is from basically 21 to 31, talks about David HaMelech's righteousness and reward. And what's interesting there, and I'm doing this because I'm not 100% sure I'm going to finish this chapter, but in case we don't, right? What David HaMelech does is he basically, as opposed to the first section where David was active, in the second section where Hashem is active, section number 3, which is 21 to 31, is really about righteousness and reward. David HaMelech is saying that Hashem will give you what you deserve, right? Hashem says, because I followed your ways, that's why I warranted, that's why I was meritorious to receive your kindness. And then lastly, in 32 through 51, David HaMelech is on the battlefield, and he talks about, in real time, how Hashem saved him, his feelings of gratitude to Hashem on that battlefield. Now I'll just finish it because it looks like I probably will not do this in the second class, but the last psukim are famous, and so it behooves us just to read them in verses 47 through 51, which is the final section of this chapter. David HaMelech returns to expressions of gratitude to Hashem. Chai Adonai Baruch Tzuri V'Yarum Elohai Yishi. Right? Hashem lives. Chai Adonai. Hashem is alive. In other words, He's relevant to me. Ubaruch Tzuri V'Yarum Elohai Yishi. He is my, right? He is exalted. He is my deliverer. Ha'el Hanosein Nikamos Li. The God who has vindicated me, who has taken vengeance against my enemies. Vaidaber Amim Tachtai. Mifalti Me'oivai. Again, He saved me for all of these. Al kein odcha bagoim Adonai. Therefore, I will sing the praises of Hashem. Ulashimcha zameira. To your name, Hashem, I will sing. And here we come. Magdil migdol. Yeshuos malko. Vyose chesed limshicho. LeDavid ulezaro ad holam. How does David HaMelech conclude this chapter of Tehillim? Right, so first is migdol or magdil. How do we understand that? So again, it means gadol. Hashem is great. Yeshuos Malko, great are the salvations, are the miracles of Hashem. Right? Ve'oseh chesed limshicho. Hashem does kindness to His anointed ones, not just for David, ulezaro, but ad ha'olam. And that, of course, we know from benching, from the conclusion of benching, we know the Migdol Magdil is not about Shabbos, it's about Shmuel Bet. That's how it got confused with Shabbos, but that's neither here nor there. So for summarizing this chapter of Tehillim, there are really two distinct sections. Section number 1, which was, I think, the primary one that we focused on today, is that notion of making a song of praise to Hashem, creating a template of how we will sing to Hashem, how we will take moments. The takeaway from this chapter of Tehillim is that we will find moments in our lives to reflect upon the millions of miracles that it took us to get to our life. That sometimes we get stuck in a moment of difficulty or a moment of challenge, and we fail to expand our perception, to understand those miracles of Hashem, or the Abarbanel, that we should write our own poem, something that we can come back to, something that will give us strength, something that will help us in those moments of difficulty, to refocus us on the kindness of Hashem. Then we come to the reference to Har Sinai in the splitting of the sea. And what I think is a beautiful idea, which is David HaMelech goes back to the previous songs and the previous stories of the Jewish people, and he makes them his own. That's what you and I have to do as well. And so while it was a lengthy chapter of Tehillim, and we did it somewhat quickly, we ran through it a little bit faster than we do some of the other ones. But I think, nonetheless, it is a very powerful chapter of Tehillim. I think there are some very relevant parts of it for us. And I think, again, for so many of us who live the life of David HaMelech, which is that some moments are better than others. In some moments we struggle, in some moments we feel euphoric in a connection to Hashem. This provides that template for us of how to overcome the difficulties of life and instead to always focus on Hashem's kindness and His goodness and His ultimate yearning for salvation. With that, I want to wish everyone a beautiful week. I want to thank my in-laws again for sponsoring. And again, Be'ezras Hashem, we should all be zoche to feel the hand of Hashem to feel Hashem's kindness, to not get stuck in the day-to-day trivial difficulties and challenges and ups and downs, but ultimately to allow ourselves to focus on the millions and millions of miracles that Hashem does for us on a regular basis.